Yes, John Gibson, it's a morning digestion for August 28th. That one's going to be a little harder for you to pick out, but anybody who's got my taste in music... recognize that guy. I don't mean that everybody will. It's kind of hard. Here's the deal. I think most of you know from listening to the Morning Digestion that I tend to do this as a exercise in media observation, if not media criticism. And so today is a really good example of, you know, the weirdness going on in the medium. And it may just be August. I mean, we're coming up on Labor Day weekend, and people are gone, and blah 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 blah. But there's some stories in the Washington Post that you would think that the New York Times would also have done, but they didn't. And it's really glaring today. The Washington Post has several Trump stories that the New York Times doesn't. I mean, not that they're especially worthy stories, but, you know, if you're a Trump hater, you expect the New York Times to at least keep up with the Washington Post. For instance, this one isn't in the New York Times. It is in the Washington Post. He tells aides, build the wall, seize the land if you have to. I got to be able to tell people that the wall is being built or has been built by election. And if you violate any laws, I'll pardon you. Now, this is the kind of story that has sort of smelly provenance to me. You go, really? It's one of those things where somebody leaks it out of the White House. And, you know, I have no doubt that Trump is determined to get some wall built, if not all of it, and, you know, to keep a campaign promise. But it strikes me as a little overdone that, you know, you go ahead, seize the land, break the law, I'll pardon you. Don't worry about a thing. Sorry, I'm having a little trouble believing that one. But in any case, there it is in the Washington Post, not in the New York Times. What is in the New York Times and others is Deutsche Bank says it has some of the Trump tax returns that are being sought by Jerry Nadler and Adam Schiff. Washington Post has this story. I didn't notice it in the New York Times. Bill Barr plans a holiday party, books a Trump hotel, and lefties are having a meltdown about it. You know, bearing the third graph is that Barr does his party every year, and he was already turned down by two major D.C. hotels because they were already booked, among them the Willard. Anyway, this is in the Washington Post and not in the New York Times. Trump pushes down logging in the Tongass in Alaska. Lefties meltdown. In the Wall Street Journal, plans to build immigrant shelters, opposition to the immigrant shelters. I don't really understand this. They complain about the conditions the immigrants are in. But they don't want immigrant shelters built. Oh, I get it. Yeah, they just want them released. Okay. Politics. The big Democrat gamble on the left, on the far left. That is far-left ideas. Axios points out today that ideas being embraced by virtually everybody on the left among the Democratic candidates for the nomination, Obama and Clinton would be considered conservatives. Oh, this is another story that wasn't in the New York Times or the Washington Post. Ilhan Omar is frisky. New York Post running a story on Ilhan Omar's tangled web of relationships. They're talking about his marriages. And this comes up because also in the Post, the Post obtained a divorce petition from a DC doctor who says that Ilhan Omar stole her husband. My husband dumped me for Representative Ilhan Omar, DC mom says in divorce filing. And so it turns out Ilhan Omar, you know, the one wearing the hijab, she lets the hijab down sometimes. She's in a steamy relationship with the guy who runs her political operation. You know, the advertising, the fundraising, all that stuff. Yeah, it's a pretty steamy story. You want to check that out. The New York Post doesn't have a paywall up. I'd go look at that if I were you. San Francisco Chronicle, Marianne Williamson and Tom Steyer are about to get bumped from the next Dem debate. You know, good in both cases. Just kind of embarrassed about Marianne Williamson that somebody like that would be taken seriously for 5 minutes. And Tom Steyer is just obnoxious. Glad to see him go. Trump mocks the Three Stooges running against him in the primary. That would be Joe Walsh, Bill Weld, and Mark Sanford. New York Times, Biden brags on black support. Now, what this deal was Biden had a kind of an open interview with a whole bunch of, if I read this correctly, it just seems impossible, but a whole bunch of black journalists, many, were questioning Biden, and he was saying all kinds of stuff. In the Washington Post, their version of it, Biden wants a running mate of color and or of different gender. I don't know exactly what it means by that, but we assume it's a woman. Politico mass interview with black journos. Biden says racism is a white man's problem. Washington Post. Lizzie Warren's big crowds. And she is gathering big crowds. Like she did 15,000 in Seattle the other day. And they're asking, do they matter? Well, of course they matter. Joe Biden can't draw anybody. Are you gonna nominate somebody who can't draw a crowd? Didn't you learn your lesson with Hillary? San Francisco Chronicle, Jill Brand doesn't understand why she's blamed for Franken's resignation. Well, duh. Okay, so this was the big New York Times story on politics today. I guess it shows that the big reporters are on vacation. And Maggie Haberman's gone, Peter Baker's gone, all these people, that normally fill up the paper with, Trump bashing stuff. It's left to Jeremy Peters. He had a big story yesterday. Now he's got another one. And this one, this one basically is Jeremy Peters' term paper on the Tea Party. He says the brawling style of today's politics is because of the Tea Party. And the theory here is that when the Tea Party was thwarted and didn't win the elections it wanted to win and wasn't able to drive down the debt and all that stuff, they became this angry crowd that would show up at town hall meetings and batter these poor Democrats who were holding congressional seats. He kind of leaves out Lois Lerner. Thwarting the political activity of several major Tea Party organizations. Anyways, it reads like a college newspaper term paper on, the Tea Party is the basis of all our problems. New York Times, the Joe Walsh gambit isn't working. He says Trump is unfit, but they point out correctly the same thing is said about him. They bring up all his racist tweets. He had a show on the Salem Network. I think it was in Fringe. And when he went after Trump, Salem said, okay, well, we're done with you. Well, I don't think the show was succeeding anyway. Salem might have dumped him anyway. Happens all the time. Social justice warriors, you got to wonder about some people. You really do. This is in the Washington Post. A white TV anchor, a woman, comments on a bit of video on the air to her black co-anchor, "That gorilla looks like you." Oh, Christ. Where have you been? Of course, you know, major thing. She tearfully apologizes. I mean, he was pretty gracious about it, but my God. You know, wake up. Washington Post. Okay, this is a really confusing. Two lesbians are dating, living together. Then one of them decides to be a man. Now they appear to be a straight couple. And lesbian number one, who's still a woman, lesbian, is upset because her queer identity seems to be ruined by the fact that they're perceived to be a straight couple. I mean, you know, it's getting complicated. It's getting very complicated. Washington Post. Don't say Mexicans have small hands, you dope. This is a Lowe's, you know, the Home Improvement Center Lowe's. They have these internal marketing or training videos. And one of the hosts of this training video is talking about a compact, cordless hand drill that they're now selling. And he said a lot of our Hispanic customers have small hands, so this would be perfect for them. No, you can't say stuff like that. Really, you just can't. It's just, you just got to wonder where these people have been. Hashtag Me Too. Women pack a New York City courtroom to complain. How dare Jeffrey Epstein kill himself? We wanted him to be here so we could yell at him about whatever it was. This was a courtroom venue for on the occasion of dismissing the charges against Jeffrey Epstein because he's no longer alive to face the charges. These women are very upset. Opioids. Purdue Pharma essentially is going to go out of business. And the Sacklers are going to cough up billions of their personal money to settle all these 2,000 lawsuits over OxyContin. And, of course, this story was a couple days ago, but I included here. It's in the New York Times. Oklahoma sticks it to Johnson & Johnson. Now, you know, they make baby powder and shampoos and all this stuff, but it turns out they also make the ingredients for OxyContin. And, you know, they went all the way to Tasmania to enter a contract with farmers there growing opium poppies in order to have the ingredients for OxyContin. So Johnson & Johnson gets stuck for $570 some odd million by state of Oklahoma. I mean, they're going to appeal. Who knows? It may not be that much, but, you know, as somebody on Brett Baer's show said last night, this is going to be like the tobacco settlement. The money is not going to go to the people who suffered. The money is going to go to state, county, city, municipality budgets. That's what's going to happen. In tech, a former Googler who jumped to Uber is facing criminal charges now for stealing Google tech on driverless cars. And what he did was he left Google. This is in the Washington Post. He left Google, founded his own company for driverless trucks, sold that company to Uber for $680 million, and Google is outraged. They say he took some of their proprietary technology, and so they're not merely suing him. They got him charged in federal court with a crime. Wall Street Journal, Facebook prices surge as Democrats spend big to make the next debate, you know, for the nomination. Whiskey Tango Foxtrot, I got a few of these here today. The King of Secondhand Books is dead. This is in the New York Times. This is a Brit guy. apparently he was an heir to a lot of money, so he could do interesting stuff. And he, going back to the 70s, started buying books from all over the world, you know, where universities getting rid of books, libraries getting rid of books, just, you know, people, you know, collectors die. And he just imported massive, massive piles of books to this little town in Wales. And he had, he became the, he made the town the secondhand book center of the world, which became something of a tourist attraction. New York Times, house cats ravaged the bird population. You knew that already. Now they're killing California sea otters. There's a parasite that cats have in their gut. It's getting into sea otters. This is in the New York Times. Uh-oh, the New York Times turns on Salman Rushdie, says he now sucks, and asks, what happened? See? You know, you can be a big shot for a long time, but, you know, eventually they're going to turn on you. Okay, so these are stories that I probably should cover, but don't, because I don't understand them, and therefore I don't care. Boris Johnson is causing trouble in Britain. This is in the Wall Street Journal. It's also in the New York Times and the Washington Post. He's going to dissolve Parliament before the October 31st Brexit deadline, so he can get Brexit through without Parliament causing him trouble. Wall Street Journal, Hong Kong protests go on. I don't know what to say about that, except, gee, it looks like a mess. New York Post, Farmer's Almanac, a bad winter is coming. Oh, crap. I don't want a bad winter. This was in the San Francisco Chronicle. It's about biodynamic wines. And I opened this story because I thought, well, first of all, the Chronicle, just, it's, you know, it sort of reflects its audience. All these papers do. If you read the LA Times, you see a lot of Hollywood news. It tends to be the business side of it, but nonetheless Hollywood news. Because it's, you know, it's an industry town. San Francisco Chronicle is aimed at tech, and so coverage of real estate is heavy, coverage of dining is heavy, and coverage of wine is heavy. Also, getaways. They like to do a lot on getaways. Apparently, tech people like to get away. Anyway, so I see this story about biodynamic wines, and I go, what the hell is that? So I look at this story, and this is wine that's been made using astrology and other sort of new age tricks to make the grapes biodynamic, whatever that means. Last night, a friend of ours came in the house with a Texas wine that's made with CBD oil. And I looked at it and I said, oh, I just don't, you know, no. No, taste it. Oh, I taste it. It kind of tastes like, I don't know, like a liqueur, like Frangelica or something. I guess all of this is meant to say, you know, I read, to do the Morning Digestion, I do the New York Times, Washington Post, The Wall Street Journal, The New York Post, Politico, LA Times, San Francisco Chronicle. Then I also look at the San Francisco Gate, which is the free version of the Chronicle. And it tends to be sort of a primer for new arrivals in San Francisco and stuff like, you know, what do's and don'ts in San Francisco. Don't call it Frisco, stuff like that. And then I also do Axios, sometimes look at Breitbart, sometimes, you know, Hollywood Reporter, Variety, see what's going on in Hollywood. And they're all very different. They're, you know, they reflect kind of the local tastes. And so, you know, stories you see in the New York Times that seem to be very important to New Yorkers, just don't show up at all in the LA Times. Anyway, so yesterday I had a piece of music on that was, people were guessing about it. Let's see. Yeah, so who was this? Mr. M. Horner, the big kahuna, taking a shot at guessing the opening song from today's Morning Digestion. Carly Simon, Let the River Run. Yes, that is true. M. Horner wins. Other people did as well. I get this. I'm getting a lot of notes from Rick Kay. He said, and by the way, you can write me at host@johngibson.com. Dear Mr. Gibby, most respect you for specialty knowledge of music until today. I was born in 1953, so you might have missed some of these great bands and great songs, one-hit wonders, but I think many of your listeners probably around in the 60s and 70s, classic rock, not sure where you were. No songs were being produced. But anyway, I just thought I'd throw those obscure melodies as a challenging name that tune entry. Love the show. Love the banter. I'm a great listener. He was the one that suggested a bunch of stuff like the Strawberry Alarm Clock, and I was laughing at him. So he probably had his feelings hurt a little bit. Yeah, Rick, you can take it. It's part of the give and take here. Also, you can please do call me at the bitch box at 859-544-2766. For instance, Rick, you could call 859-544-2766 and bitch me out about making fun of your song list. All right, so I'm going to play this one again. You're going to have to figure this one out because it's kind of a tricky one. Figure that one out. It's not as easy as the usual things I do. And yeah, Rick, you know what? I tend to focus on, you know, people from my era, the 60s and 70s, but I have very strong tastes, and you know, I just would never do the Strawberry Alarm Clock. I'm sorry. I just would never do that. Okay, see you on the podcast later.